www.thebigradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD.
Yep. One and two. Feed me. Feed me more. Feed me more. Feed me more.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to episode 54 of Spoilers Podcast. Thank you for joining us as we move over to our brand new host for Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, and with our fancy intro, I hope that you like our move, and I'm joined by my awesome co-host, Graham Matthews. What's going on, Graham?
How's it going, Ben? Doing great, and of course, our first show of the new year, 2013. Extremely excited for the move as well. We're on the blogtalkradio.com/PWRadio, or I'm sorry, powerhouseradio.com. And we have a bright future ahead of us, especially with our new one-hour format. We usually used to go for 30 minutes to 45 minutes. Now we're going to be going for a full-on hour and plus that. So that's going to be great as well. I'm on this week's show. I'm going to be talking about this week's Raw and everything else to go ahead in the world of wrestling. That's not all. Also today we're joined by a very special guest, Seth Guttenplan, also a former current Bleacher Report feature columnist. He's been on Spoilers before. How's it going?
Very good. Very glad to be back on Spoilers and talk WWE and everything else with you guys.
Sounds great. You want to run down the Raw results, Ben?
I'd be happy to. New Year's Eve show, taped, of course, from Washington, D.C. We start off with Miz coming out early in the show and giving a promo, and then we had Damian Sandow, John Cena all come out. They had a promo, and then we had our first match of the night, John Cena and the Miz taking on Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow. And the winner at the end of that was Miz and John Cena after Sandow gets an ass adjustment from John Cena. And then we have a backstage segment with the New Year's Eve party. CM Punk is featured in it. And then Vicky Guerrero comes out and makes a match for the night. CM Punk taking on the Shield. Then we had and that was announced for later tonight. And then we had another match, Antonio Cesaro taking on Sergeant Slaughter, making a nice little career return for the United States title. Antonio Cesaro won that, so he keeps his title and his gimmick that no American can beat him. And then we had Kane and Daniel Bryan were fighting because they wanted to face the Shield. They ended up running into 3MB, so they have opponents for the rest of the night. And then we had Kane and Daniel Bryan versus 3MB. In a nice match, Daniel Bryan and Kane pick up the victory there after Daniel Bryan hit the diving headbutt on Drew McIntyre. And then we had CM Punk Paul Heyman come out and give a promo. And then that went on for a while. And then Vince McMahon actually came out and wished everybody a Happy New Year. And he wanted to see how Punk was going to try and weasel out of the match with the Shield. And then we had, they go back and forth, and we had another match, Dolph Ziggler versus Sheamus in a pretty nice match. And Sheamus won by disqualification after Biggie Langston and the Shield attacked Sheamus. And then we had CM Punk come out again. And then he gave him a little promo. Then we had Big Show versus Ricardo Rodriguez, the world championship from the Big Show won by disqualification after Del Rio attacked the Big Show. Then we had Kofi Kingston versus Wade Barrett for the Intercontinental title, and in a surprising move at a taped show, Wade Barrett hits Bullhammer and wins the Intercontinental Championship, changes the title. And then our next match, we had the Shield taking on Ryback. Sorry, that was my mistake earlier. I said CM Punk. But they faced Ryback. And this match really never got started, as they just kind of brawled. And then we had a little promo with Dolph Ziggler, John Cena, and that, and then John Cena announced that he was going to be in the 2013 Royal Rumble. Not really a surprise, but that was the end of the show. So, Graham, what did you think of this taped show from New Year's Eve?
Well, I think you forgot the small detail at the end of the show that John Cena had the raining poop down on Dolph Ziggler and AJ, but I found that a bit shocking and a bit disturbing at the same time. But aside from that, I thought this was a fun holiday show, especially since it was taped. The rating was going to be in the shitter anyway, so it doesn't really matter what they do. But enjoyed some of the action, like Big Show versus Ricardo. I'm liking Del Rio's face turn, or apparent face turn. It looks like they might be going back on it a little bit. Seeing how they show clips of his heel turn, so to speak, from the New Year's Eve, or Christmas Eve edition, rather. But, you know, aside from that, I thought this was a good show. There were some highlights. I really did like Shane versus Dolph Ziggler, besides it's actually seen a million times over the last year. And, of course, the highlight of the night is Wade Barrett as your new Intercontinental Champion. What was an excellent match between him and Kofi Kingston. I found that, as you just said before, when going down the results. But it was a bit of a shocking move to have that happen on a taped show. Now, for those of you unaware, that they spoiled that on the WWE.com website over the weekend when they taped on Saturday night. So those who tuned in already knew the result of the matchup. But that didn't take away from the matchup. I thought that was a very good matchup, and can't wait for a rematch this week on Friday Night SmackDown. So that's going to be awesome. But, yeah, those were just among some of the highlights. Everything else didn't really bother me all that much. Aside from the fact from the Mae Young thing, that was a bit out there. The whole pregnancy thing, that was a bit, just a bit strange. But, you know, overall, I thought it was a decent show. Seth, you want to give your thoughts on the show?
I pretty much agree with you for the most part, Graham. You know, obviously the only thing that really progressed in terms of storylines was Wade Barrett. Which I thought was odd to even have this happen on a pre-taped show, and WWE.com even spoiled it. So I don't know why they didn't just wait till the first live Raw of 2013. I think that would have been probably a better booking decision. Other than that, I thought the Mae Young thing was dumb, obviously making fun of past history with WWE and Mae Young, but, you know, it was another holiday episode with just a little bit of progression in the storyline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you really can't expect too much out of these shows. It's just unfortunate that the WWE had 2 weeks in a row where they pretty much had to tape the show, so I wasn't too unhappy with the program. It's pretty much what I expected. Now, what I did not expect was the Wade Barrett thing, and Grimace talked about this earlier. Now I'm curious to see where they go from here, because like you said, that they should have just waited until the first live Raw of 2013, which will be on the 7th of this coming up Monday. But that makes me think that because they did it then, something's going to happen where they're going to really develop a feud between now and the Royal Rumble, and they need a lot of time to really develop it and to make it a good feud. What do you think of that?
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I do think, as you guys just said before, that they should have saved it for the first Raw of 2013, or even more so for the big 20th anniversary show that they finally started hyping this past week on Raw, which will be the following week on the 14th. they could have done what they did with Miz and have him win the Intercontinental Championship on one of their biggest shows of the year. I think that would have been pretty cool, but I'm not exactly sure why they gave it away this early. Maybe because they had in mind that if they changed the title on a tape show and they advertised the title change beforehand, more people would tune in to see it. I'm not exactly sure. They did the same thing with Kofi Kingston a couple months back as well when he won the IC Championship on Main Event. So hopefully this is a sign of good things to come for Wade Barrett in 2013. Obviously, he should be in the World Championship picture by now, but with Dolph Ziggler, Big Show, Sheamus, Del Rio, all kind of clouding title picture at the moment, I'm not down on this move at all. Kofi Kingston versus Barrett has produced some great matches in the last couple of weeks, and I'm looking forward to the rematch on this week's SmackDown. And hopefully that isn't the blow-off match either. Hopefully they continue to, you know, get as much out of this feud as they can going to the Royal Rumble, which is in about 4 weeks from now. So they've got quite some time to kill between now and the Royal Rumble pay-per-view.
Yeah, definitely. Now, this is what kind of worries me about the product going in, because you already have the main event set up, Rock versus Punk. Well, outside of the actual Royal Rumble match, you have Rock versus Punk for the WWE title at the Royal Rumble. So, and then now they've got 4 weeks to kill, where they've got to develop everything else. And usually there's about 3 weeks or so before pay-per-view, but now there's a lot. It seems like there's a lot more time that they have to develop these issues, and I'm just kind of worried that they're just going to drag out stuff or wait too long to develop the feud and actually do it like 1 to 2 weeks before the actual pay-per-view, and then these next one or two shows are just going to be time killers. That's just kind of what kind of worries me. Although WWE could trust us and actually really develop these shoes in these 4 weeks. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, that's kind of what they did with the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view a few months ago, when they had about 5-6 weeks build, I believe, until that pay-per-view, and they waited until the very last minute to start building that event, which didn't turn out well. It was not one of the better pay-per-views of 2012. So hopefully they don't do the same thing with Royal Rumble. Last year's had a lot of potential, but they kind of dropped the ball on that one. Last year's Royal Rumble, in my personal opinion, was one of the most disappointing events of 2012 and one of the most disappointing Rumbles in recent history. So hopefully with Rocky headlining the event against CM Punk for the championship and the potential of a Big Show Del Rio match perhaps, or another Ziggler Cena match, as to what it looks like from this week's Raw, it does look like it's going to be a great event. And the possibility of who's going to be winning the Royal Rumble is, it's unpredictable for the first time in quite some time. I mean, and in 2011, it was kind of obvious with Del Rio with being world champion at the time. This past year, Sheamus is kind of one of the dark horses, especially with Rock versus Cena headlining the event. This year, we have no knowledge of any of the matches that Joe shows, and matches and plans can change in an instant. So I'm excited to see who comes out of the Royal Rumble victorious, but it's all in the hype. The hype for this year's Royal Rumble event will start this week on Raw when they start building up the match itself. Hopefully Punk versus Rock. I mean, that's a match that sells itself. If they didn't start building towards that at all, the match would still sell. But I mean, obviously they still need to start building towards it regardless. And hopefully that starts this week on Raw with Rock returning for the first time in quite some time, or in the last couple of months. So that should be good as well. I'm looking forward to that feud that has the potential to be very entertaining, especially since Punk has been, I don't want to say he's been stale on the mic as of late, but he just hasn't been all that good because he's kind of been giving the same material in recent weeks without really anything to work with. You know what I mean? So, yeah, Seth, I want to get your thoughts on that as well.
You want to go ahead, Seth?
Oh, sorry. What was the question?
Your thoughts on next week's Raw and whatnot.
I think it's going to be a very good show. I think the next two Raws are, I think it's the following one, the 20th anniversary one.
Yep.
I think that the next two are going to be very big. I do find it interesting that they haven't really built as much towards Punk versus Rock. But at the same time, if they are going towards this Punk Ryback match for Raw, then they don't want to just give away that it's obviously going to be Punk, even though we all know that it will be. It's still good booking to just build towards the Punk Ryback match and give everyone at least some hope or some thought that there's a possibility Ryback will win, but it would be a huge mistake if Ryback were to win.
Oh, definitely. I really think that Ryback needs a lot more grooming in order to be put back into the picture. I mean, he made some strides in 2012, but I just still don't see him as legit as he needs to be, if you know what I'm saying.
What was the last thing you said? I couldn't hear the last thing Ben said.
I pretty much said that I think that Ryback needs some more grooming before I would put him back into where he was.
Absolutely. I mean, he was kind of rushed into it anyway with Cena being injured at the time. They really didn't have another top babyface. He was kind of pushed and, rushed a bit to be on top. And that's obviously not something that will work long term. But, if he wins the Rumble, that would be huge. And he definitely has the potential to be at that point where he can claim a world championship, but it's not right now.
Are you doing anything illegal right now? Are those cops in the background coming for you? No.
You're hearing cops?
Yeah, I could hear sirens in the background. I know what it was.
Yeah, it's just the natural sounds of New York City.
Oh, nice. Nice. But, yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. So, I just want to say, I
personally think that he would be ready for the World Heavyweight Championship because I think those two titles are on completely different levels. If you're to give him the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania, I think that'd be perfect. I think he'd make for a good world champion at this point in time if you put him over on the SmackDown brand. WWE champion right now, absolutely not, especially with Punk versus Rock and the whole Cena thing going on in the long term. Yeah, that would be a mistake, obviously, but I think if they had him win the Rumble and had him win the World Championship at Mania, I think that'd be fine, especially given how old he is at the moment. It's really not many top faces in WWE at the moment that can take the World Championship, especially with Sheamus being beaten by Show on three consecutive pay-per-views. I don't know what the hell they're doing with Randy Orton at the moment. He's just kind of floundering. He's been floundering for the past year now, so I have no idea what they're doing with him. They've done Orton versus Sheamus a billion times over the last 3 years. So I honestly think it'd be a mistake if they did Orton to Sheamus, as rumored again at WrestleMania. So I really don't want to see that matchup, even if it did mean an Orton heel turn. But maybe I think we'll get that regardless. But, I think just putting the title on Ryback at this point in time, the World Heavyweight Championship, not the WWE, I think would be the best bet. I think he's the only person who can put an end to Big Show's unstoppable reign. And I think that'd be interesting going into WrestleMania.
I agree with you, Graham. It's definitely one of the rumored things to happen is for Ryback and Big Show to face off at WrestleMania, and it would not surprise me to see him with the World Heavyweight Championship. It is a title that I really don't like where it is right now. I know a lot of people think that Big Show is doing such a great job with it, and he's been very successful, but maybe in the year 2000, 2001, even 2002, when the World Heavyweight Championship first started, it would have made more sense for him to be a world champion. But right now, you have a bunch of up-and-coming guys who should be at the top fighting for that championship. Ziggler, Bryan, Wade Barrett, Ryback. And I agree with you that I really don't want to see Sheamus, Randy Orton. They both were in the title picture the last few years, and so I do think that other grouping I mentioned should be more the focus for the World Heavyweight Championship in 2013.
Yeah, definitely. Now, the way they've kind of booked Big Show, they're going to have someone, a monster like Ryback, take him on at WrestleMania. I actually think that would be a really good match, and the a basis for the feud is already there. Ryback is considered Supernatural, the big show, of course, is a giant. Ryback wants the world title. That's going to lead to a colossal match at WrestleMania night. So the basis for the feud's already there. So I would be pretty happy to see that match at WrestleMania, because I actually think those two could put on a very good match.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. I mean, if you don't go with that route, I don't know how many other routes, or how many interesting routes, I should say, you can go with. Orton and Sheamus, as we just said before, we saw that at Royal Rumble 2010. We saw that at Hell in a Cell 2010. On Night of Champions, SummerSlam, we saw it quite a few times last year as well, when both were top faces on SmackDown. We saw it a few times on SmackDown in 2011. I really don't want to see that match again. I'm not interested in neither guy's character, so I really don't want to see that again. I would not have a problem with Orton in the title picture as much as with Sheamus. Sheamus has been in the title picture for the past year now, so I think it's okay if you take him out of there and have him. Well, let me say, after this week's Raw, from what we were talking about before, after Ben was going down the results and whatnot, when he said that Ryback teamed up with Orton and Sheamus to fend off the Shield, I think that could be a potential feud for WrestleMania if they keep on going with that. You'd have Ryback go with Orton and Sheamus, or maybe not even WrestleMania, just going into the Royal Rumble. You have that, you build that as a mini feud going into the event with Orton, Sheamus, and Ryback versus the Shield. And that eventually leads to either maybe Orton turning on Ryback, and you have Orton with the World Championship at Elimination Chamber or something like that. You have his turn heel go on the road to WrestleMania, and you have Ryback chasing him with the World Heavyweight Championship. That would be pretty damn cool, in my opinion. I think that could, as awesome as Big Show versus Ryback would be, maybe not the match as much, but the finish with Ryback hitting his finisher on Big Show, as epic as that would be if it was indeed possible. Orton versus Ryback would be a much better match, as well as the fact that we haven't seen Orton as champion since late 2011, and I've been saying this for months now, but Ryback can do me Morton as his slogan instead of feed me more, like a kind of a pun off that. But yeah, I think there's kind of a few routes that they can go with Orton, as long as they keep him interesting, because I mean, he's been faced now for, I think, 3 years since WrestleMania 26, so it's about time for a change for him. And if he was to get back in the world championship picture, it would have to be with Ryback in order to be interesting.
I have a question for you guys. What if we see Ryback versus Big Show for the World Heavyweight Championship, but Ryback is not able to shell-shock Big Show? I mean, we talk about how amazing it would be to see that happen, but what if it's like another Tenzai situation where he fails?
Debut a finisher. I mean, that's what Undertaker did against Big Daddy V when he was getting clobbered in that match. That's how they debuted Hell's Gate, just debut a submission maneuver or something like that. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, that is an interesting question. I mean, it depends. I would assume that if that was a big WrestleMania match, they would at least practice it beforehand to make sure he can hit it. And if he can't hit it, he'd do something else, maybe the meat hook clothesline or the backpack center or something. I don't know. But yeah, they'd probably most definitely go for it. They would make him go for it, because that'd be an awesome WrestleMania moment. And if it wasn't possible at all, there's no way that he can do it. As Ben just said, he can either debut a new finisher, maybe a submission possibly, but yeah, there's no way that they can botch that on the grand stage of them all without practicing it beforehand.
Yeah, I mean, there's very few people who can actually hit their finisher on Big Show, John Cena being one of them. So it would be interesting indeed to see how they handle that. Now, I think Ryback probably could hit it, because he's very, very strong, but I don't know. That actually is a very interesting question. And I'll be interested if they do progress with this feud, how they try to handle that. Maybe they have the feud where he actually can hit it, but no one knows that. And the storyline is he can't hit his finisher. He's tried many times on Big Show, but he can't hit it. And they go into WrestleMania and he finally hits it. I actually think that could be pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, if Cesaro can hit his finisher on Kali, as seen last night at main event, I think Ryback can hit his finisher on Big Show, if that was possible. I did not see any chance in hell of Cesaro hitting his finisher on Kali. And he achieved the impossible last night on Main Event. If you guys didn't see it, go back and watch it. It was a very sick moment. I was extremely impressed by that. So if Cesaro could do that on Kali, I have my hope that Ryback can do his finisher on Big Show.
Yeah, I mean, isn't Kali heavier than Big Show? Because Big Show, I believe, is
maybe
four...
just as heavy. I'm not sure.
I'm not exactly sure. I think he's...
I have it right here. Big Show is... Well, now he's 440 pounds. 441.
Mm-hmm. What's Kali? I think Kali's over 500.
I think Kali's more.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, it looks...
Actually, no. Kali is less. Kali is 346.
Holy crap. Well, they said 400 pounds on Main Event, so they must have been lying when they said that. But, yeah, I guess because he's thinner and not as, you know, wider as Big Show, maybe that's where it comes in.
Well, I think they always exaggerate a bit, you know, with the big guys. They used to do it with Yokozuna all the time and Andre the Giant. And even Big Show, after it was known that he had left WWE to lose weight and get back into better shape, they still refer to him as 500 pounds.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Interesting. I always thought Kali weighed more than that. So maybe he did weigh more at one time, because he does look kind of skinnier than from his early days in the WWE back in, when did he debut, like 07 or something. But anyway, I think they'll figure out a way for Ryback to be able to hit his finisher. And, a lot of the discussion was on Randy Orton, and my thing that I've observed with the WWE with Randy Orton is they have booked him over the past few years to be almost at the same level as Cena in terms of the way he is over and the people he can beat. So now they're in a predicament now where they don't have anywhere for him to go, because they don't want to put him back in the world title picture, because we've seen that already. But he can't go down, because they've booked him over the past few years that he just doesn't belong there. It would look really bad if he went down to a... not necessarily a mid-card slot, but something that's not the main event. So do you get what I'm saying here?
Oh, yeah.
Is that Randy Orton you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's too big of a name to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his name has been built a little bit less than Cena's, but still probably the second biggest name in the WWE in the past few years, and they just don't know what to do with him because they're kind of trapped. And him being gone for a while with suspensions and injuries and, for the past movies, people have almost forgotten about him, and he wasn't able to reserve his place. Now he comes back. They just don't have anything to do with anywhere to put him, which I think is probably going to be the main problem with them going into WrestleMania and what to do with Randy Orton.
Well, I mean, Alberto Del Rio's recent face turn, I think, is indicative of Orton's eventual heel turn. How many actual heels do we have left in WWE? We have Big Show, we have Wade Barrett, but Wade Barrett's in the IC Championship picture and probably will be for the next couple of months. So he's not going to be in any, you know, main events anytime soon. So we have Big Show as world champion. We've got Dolph Ziggler, another top heel on Raw as of right now. CM Punk, obviously, is WWE champion. And that's just about it. I mean, we may just have just as much baby faces, but we've got Cena, we've got Ryback, we've got Del Rio, Orton, Sheamus, Miz now. There's so many baby faces right now. Sure, not all of them are on the top of the card, but they're all top-tier names that could be used at the top of the card, whereas right now we only have three top heels that can really be taken seriously at the moment in the main event scene. So given the fact that they just recently turned Del Rio, I think they kind of have in mind that they want to turn Orton in the next couple of months. That's just my two cents on it. Maybe they aren't. I don't know why they turned Del Rio in that case, but hopefully that is the reason why, and they kind of want to switch roles with the two. And as I just said before, they go into Orton versus Ryback or Orton versus someone else or a fresh face. I don't know, but even if Orton did turn heel, I don't want to see Orton versus Sheamus again. We've seen that so many times, and I just do not want to see that feud again, especially if it's over the World Championship, because Sheamus does not need the World Championship at this point. Big Show has been doing a fine job with the title, and I think having him drop the title to Ryback or someone else, another top babyface or something like that, or Dolph Ziggler perhaps, would be a much better scenario than getting it back to Sheamus. So, yeah, Orton 2012 for Orton and Cena, two of the top faces in the company, was probably the worst year of his career since he debuted. And as he just said, he was gone due to multiple injuries, movies, suspension back in May to July. It was probably the worst year of his career, and he has been, I mean, when he was world champion in 2011, I, for one, was complaining over the fact that he was kind of new Super Cena of SmackDown. Now, at this point, he's been being pinned clean numerous times by Dolph Ziggler, Sheamus, and quite a few others as well. So I give him his props and, you know, putting over younger talent. But it's starting to get to that point where he's getting stale, where his matches aren't as interesting as they once were. And I think that heel turn that people have been begging for quite a while now will really reinvigorate his character.
There is one heel team that you forgot to mention that I actually think could deal with the excess of baby faces, and that's the Shield. And so I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, yeah, right. I forgot about that.
So
you also didn't mention Team Road Scholars.
Oh, yeah, the Road Scholars.
I think their tag team division than anything. Shield's in, like, the main event. I can see that, but Road Scholars are more in, like, the tag team title picture right now. But I see your point, though. If they broke up, then they'd be, like, you know, up on top of the card. But for right now, they're probably just going for the tag titles.
A few months ago, I would argue that the WWE was really lacking in faces, you know. I think, and that was part of the reason why Ryback was pushed to the top so quickly. So I think that because of that, and they probably recognized that they were lacking some top baby faces, that has probably had to do with why they turned Del Rio and The Miz. So now it seems like maybe they're going to try to keep a good balance of heels and faces, because we were seeing heel versus heel or face versus face matches at one point, maybe a year or two ago. And so maybe they'll turn Randy Orton heel, but, you know, it's important that they keep a good balance.
They're going to have to, and you can't overload on face versus face matches or heel versus heel matches. Actually, heel versus heel matches barely have worked. The only one I can really remember in the past couple of years that was on a pay-per-view was Sheamus versus Randy Orton. But the more heel of the time, that was right at the beginning of Randy Orton's face turn. And then face versus face matches, in my opinion, should be reserved for big events like Undertaker versus Triple H, Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, those big
ones. Or Shawn Michaels versus Flair.
Yeah. Those big matches that you don't know who to root for, because you like both of them. I think those create the best stories, and those should be saved for the big time matches. But anyways, I wouldn't be surprised to see kind of a super team of faces go up against the Shield. Maybe we see Sheamus and Randy Orton go in there and go up against the Shield at WrestleMania, and someone else, maybe Del Rio. I don't know. I'll be really interested to see how that turns out. But I don't know. But this is what I love.
Well, maybe they're going to do something with Sheamus and Orton and the Shield because of what we saw recently with them attacking Sheamus and Orton coming out. Now it seems like the odds are a little more even, with Ryback, Sheamus, and Orton feuding with the Shield, kind of.
Yeah, and that's what got me thinking about it. So I would not be surprised to see something like that at WrestleMania. This is one of the reasons I love this part of the year, January through April, because it's all going to that one goal, and that's WrestleMania. These next two pay-per-views are all just really setting up for the biggest pay-per-view of the year coming up. And they have a lot of potential. There's a lot of great potential matches that are coming up, like The Undertaker facing who we don't know who he's going to face yet, but whoever he faces is probably going to make a great match. We'll probably see The Rock involved somehow, CM Punk, John Cena. It has potential to be really, really good.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, as you just said, they have quite a few matches that they can go with, but it just all depends on how they execute it. I mean, we've been talking about, since I believe maybe July, about all the potential matches that they could have at WrestleMania 29. Is as long as they book it well and they don't screw it up, I'm completely content with it. And right now, as we were talking about before, I've said this numerous times, but last year we had Rock versus Cena. That was one match we knew was going to happen. Sure, it was something to look forward to, but it was something that we knew was going to happen. This year around, we don't really know what's going to happen, so there's anything to predict. A Royal Rumble victory for Ryback, Randy Orton winning the World Heavyweight Championship at some point in the next few months. Anything is possible, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, we can get a few cool returns at the 20th anniversary of Raw next Monday night, not this upcoming Monday night, but the 14th, of course. At the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, that's always a night of returns, so that's going to be exciting. And as you just said, the road to WrestleMania is always the best. That's when they have their best quality shows. And from one report that I read today off LordsOfPain.net indicated that Mr. McMahon said that every show counts, apparently, to quote him exactly, as far as Raw's going forward, to say that all the shows are going to matter, that they're each going to have significance, and that I believe each show will have something monumental, such as a Rock return or something going forward to keep the fans excited. And, you know, some of the best Raws that we've seen in recent memory, since a lot of people have been down on the three-hour concept since its debut back at Raw 1000. So I'm looking forward to that. If they keep up to that promise in delivering good Raws and good SmackDowns and good main events or whatever going forward, then 2013 could be kicking off on a very high note for WWE.
Definitely, and the trend that we've been seeing, 2011 was okay, 2012 was good, but it's been right. The product has been rising in quality ever since about 2009, which is ironically when I went back and started watching wrestling after a brief hiatus. But so it's been getting better, and I think that the trend will continue. But also kind of similar to that in terms of the quality getting better. The quality of TNA Impact has also gotten better, but the ratings really haven't shown it that much. There is an article on WrestleNigma.com that broke down some of the viewership, and it really shows that 2011 really kind of killed TNA because 2011 was just so crappy of a year. That even how good 2012 was, fans really are still very hesitant to turn back in.
Yeah, I don't blame them at all. I mean, 2012 was definitely a turning point for TNA, but there's quite a few fans that continue to state that, that, as you just said, they're hesitant to watch the product after all the shit they produced in the last decade. And 2012 was a fantastic year for TNA. To the point for a couple of months, I thought they were the superior company over WWE as far as quality goes. So, I mean, I think they're still doing well now, but, and as you said, the ratings aren't really showing it. And I don't think that's something that's going to increase. It was 3 years ago tomorrow that we got that big Monday Night Wars on January 4th, 2010, with the big Hulk Hogan arrival, Eric Bischoff, Ric Flair, and whatever. And they got that big ratings spike for that one night only. And then they just went back to their snag ratings that they got for years. And I don't think it's the ratings that matter all that much, because Raw's ratings suck nowadays anyway. The Christmas Eve edition got like a 2.2, and that's Christmas Eve, so I'm not going to blame that. But aside from that, I mean, we've been getting our lowest ratings in recent years, the past 15 years, I think, or since 1997 from Monday Night Raw. And as long as the quality's good, this has always been my motto, as long as the quality is good, I'm fine with it. I don't really give a shit about the ratings for either WWE or TNA. As long as it's watchable, as long as it's enjoyable, it's all that matters to me, and as long as we're enjoying it, that's the only part that matters, because as far as the ratings go, it doesn't mean that every single person watching the product is enjoying it. Or, I mean, with Monday Night Football and all the other things happening in today's world and whatever, people just aren't tuning into wrestling. It's not a hot trend anymore as it once was. And ratings will continue to decrease in coming years, or at least as far as I predict. So hopefully, you know, hopefully it only goes up from here and we get some good programming going forward.
Yeah, hopefully. Now that football season is over, the playoffs are starting, so there's no Monday Night Football, I think we'll see kind of a rating spike for WWE. I'm not sure what we'll see for TNA, but I think that also might have to do just with the age that we live in. I mean, I watch Raw most of the time on my laptop now. I'm able to download it and watch it, or I put it on my DVR and watch it then, because I'm usually never able to watch it on Monday nights. And I think that because it's so readily available on the internet, we're never going to see ratings like we did in the Attitude Era again during the Monday Night Wars, when they were in like the fives, a crazy amount of people were watching. So I'll be interested to see if they ever figure out a way to measure how many people are watching just by DVR, by the combination of live TV, DVR, and online. And I'd like to compare those numbers with how many people were actually watching during the 90s.
That's a very good point. I mean, given the fact that the ratings are based off the NISOL media research or whatever it is, I just learned a couple months ago, I mean, not everybody has one of those boxes, so not everyone watching the show is based off those numbers. There's probably many more people that are watching the show aside from these numbers, and I mean, the breakdowns of each segment and whatnot, they aren't exact. I mean, just because someone's tuning in or it loses viewers does not necessarily mean it's bad. Not always. Sometimes it does, but not always. That's not always the case. So, I mean, as you said, we're never going to see ratings like we did in the Attitude Era. Maybe it's possible, but it's not likely, especially as you just said with the internet and whatever, and WWE putting content on their website. No, the spoiler, so the Wade Barrett Intercontinental Championship thing, I don't know if they attempted to draw in the viewers by seeing that just to see the title change, or, I mean, if I wasn't as diehard of a wrestling fan that I am, I wouldn't have tuned in because I just saw Wade Barrett win the Intercontinental Championship. Why would I tune in to see that? I mean, we already know the result. So, I mean, as you just said, with the YouTube and WWE.com and whatever, giving the results of the show and the clips of each matches and whatever, sometimes there's no point in watching. There's no point in watching live. And I mean, as you just said, DVR is another very good example. I mean, with the 3 hours boar fest that we get each week for Raw, sometimes a lot of people just go back and just watch only the good parts on DVR, and those numbers don't come out until like a month later, I believe. But yeah, I mean, it would be very interesting if they release those numbers as far as how many people are watching on the internet and computer and whatever, because there's probably, it could be even possibly more than the amount of people watching live. You never know.
Yeah, and with TNA, their audience is not the typical audience of the WWE. The WWE has a lot of child viewers, whereas TNA, I would not. Their main, like both companies' main demographic is the 18 through 35-year-olds. But I think that because the 18 through 35-year-olds are usually the ones that are more connected to the internet, they're the ones that are downloading it and watching it online instead of watching it live. So I think that just because of TNA's audience, we're not going to see their ratings increase, because I think their audience is the kind that would tend to just go online and watch it instead of being able to watch it live.
Oh, yeah, completely agreed. I mean, that plays a huge factor. And hopefully, yeah, you can go ahead, Ted.
Well, I was just going to say, isn't the only live show WWE has anymore is Raw? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know that they ever had many multiple live shows, but it doesn't just bug me that they did the Wade Barrett thing, though. I really don't like that they do that. But, I mean, don't ruin the one show that usually is live. And I've always thought that WWE should have more live shows, but I guess that's more difficult to do. But I only watch SmackDown now when it is live. I rarely watch it when it's not live.
Mm-hmm. Well, really nothing of note ever happens on SmackDown anymore.
Nothing will ever happen unless it's live.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think live shows make everything better. We saw the summer when TNA went live, they did really, really well in terms of quality of product. So the pursuit of live shows, they are a lot harder to do, but I almost think it's worth it. You can have your main events, you can have your NXT on the website or whatever, but I think your main flagship shows that people recognize, Raw and SmackDown, should always be live, because I think that's going to make for a superior product, and it also is probably going to be a ratings increase because people are going to tune in because they can't read spoilers online of the people who win and who were in attendance. So I really think going live for both shows is really the best option. Now, do I think we'll see that? I really don't. I think Raw will continue to be the only live show, but I would say that is something that the WWE and TNA should consider.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, given the fact that Super SmackDown in recent months, they've had about two or three of them in the last 5 or 6 months or whatever, and they've gotten gradually better each and every time. So as you guys were just saying, history has shown that shows are going to live, whether it's TNA Impact or Raw or SmackDown. The Super SmackDown Lives, we saw a handful of them in 2012. And is SmackDown just supposed to be going live, or are there plans to be going live in the near future? I mean, with the amount of live SmackDowns we've seen over the past year and a half, I would not get that out of the question. I think it is possible that we could see SmackDown live. Maybe not every Tuesday. Honestly, I would love to see it live every Friday. I think that would be pretty cool as well. But if it was live every Tuesday, I mean, it did lead to a big rating increase the last time they went live. I think it was on the before Christmas break. They had that Super SmackDown Live with no commercials, and I think that was one of their highest rating SmackDowns in recent history, or in recent memory, that is. So, yeah, that'd be a great idea to go live every single week. As far as Tuesdays, Fridays, Sci-Fi, USA Network, it doesn't really matter, but yeah, I think it would definitely lead to more, you know, interesting storylines, more people watching and whatnot, because SmackDown is good at times, but it needs to go live so people don't avoid the spoilers and whatnot, and, you know, just live as we're watching and whatnot. So, yeah, I would definitely be for that change, and if they were to incorporate it in the new year, I think that's something they could definitely work on, making their other shows more interesting. I think main events been a good investment since they started that in October, but they could definitely work on SmackDown if they made that live every single week. But I don't know what the problem is. Maybe it's, I don't know if they want to cut costs or whatever. I don't know. I think it'd be a brilliant investment if they were to go live every single week. But I think the only issue with that, if they were to do that, is the fact that we would get on some occasions a pay-per-view, then a Raw, then a SmackDown, than a main event. If you watch TNA, you'd watch TNA the next night. So you'd have five consecutive nights of wrestling, boom, 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 and I don't know how many hours of television of Raw and SmackDown and pay-per-view and whatever that is, or whatever that comes out to. But that's a hell of a lot of wrestling, as we saw last week or 2 weeks ago before the holiday. So then that'd be the only issue with it. If we're, you know, us fans, the talents and whatever, would be burned out by SmackDown, but even still, I think that'd be a great investment if they were to go live every single week for SmackDown.
Now, what I would love to see is main events. I mean, it's fine right now, but I would love to see it become FCW. Because I think watching the minor leagues before they get on the big stage would be great. Because then you can have your Raw superstars, and then you can have your, on Monday, then you have the minor leaguers on Tuesday or whatever, and then you have, Impact, and then you have the SmackDown superstars on Friday. I think that could really work, because that gives different perspectives of a bunch of different types of talent, where and then the talent isn't so burnt out by the end of the week.
Well, that's essentially what NXT is now. I mean, that's the place, that's the new FCW. And if they were to bring that up to television, I think that's what a lot of people have been clamoring for since it went to, since they took it off the website back in June of last year. So, I don't really see Main Event becoming the new FCW because that's what NXT is at the moment. They just need to get it on television. I don't know if they're waiting to find a deal or waiting for the network to debut, which is God knows when, but even still. Yeah, I would love to see NXT.
I agree with you, Graham. I think NXT needs to be more available to the audience. I think everyone is dying to see it, and they really need to get it on more.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
the people from The Shield, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns, three great guys, three awesome NXT standouts. No one knew who the hell they were. Like, no one, I mean, Michael Cole, when he announced him as, I mean, I know that's the point, I mean, to introduce him as mysterious figures, but when Michael Cole introduced him by name and said they were from NXT, I appreciated that fact. I mean, stating that they're from NXT, but a lot of people are probably wondering what the hell that even is, because the last time it was on television, it was a shit fest with the Divas division in September 2010, and even when it was on the website, with NXT Redemption and Season 4 and all of that crap, a lot of people don't remember it as being a good thing. So, I mean, if they were to introduce it to television, that'd be the best bet, because as you said, NXT has been great since they revamped it back in June. So, that'd definitely be the best bet. But if they expect people to know, like Big E Langston, another perfect example, a big standout from NXT, if they expect people to know these sort of guys before they come up to the roster so they get a bigger reaction, then you need to at least put the show on the website. It's not even on the website. It's not even available in the United States unless you go to some foreign website or some shit like that. So you need to either put it on television or you need to put it on the website. Either or, I think it'd be a great business deal for both WWE and the fans.
Do you think maybe they don't do that because it is sort of like a minor league, and most of these guys may never make it to the main roster?
Maybe.
It's a possibility. I mean, I think they're just waiting for a deal to come up, but it's a possibility. I mean, I don't even think the ratings would be an issue. I mean, they would probably be bad, but even still, I mean, I think the website, I think, would be perfect for it, even if because they wouldn't have to worry about ratings and whatever, and I think it would be perfect for the website to get more web traffic. Because, obviously, I think, honestly, the more people that, more of the IWC members would watch the show, more so than, you know, casual fans or whatever, because we want to see guys like Dean Ambrose, we want to see guys like Seth Rollins down in NXT, more so than the casual fans. And I understand the fact that putting on television would introduce those kind of guys to the casual fans so they get more familiar with the audiences and whatever, but They can't do that as well, because that's why NXT, the original version, failed, as well as ECW, because people weren't reacting to them, and it wasn't helping them at all. That's why they moved to Florida, which I think was the best, and a very smart move at that. So, I think moving to the website is a nice middle way between doing it on TV and not doing it at all. So I think a lot of people could have access to the website and watch it whenever they want, rather than going through foreign websites to find it or failing to watch it on television and see the ratings sink. So, yeah, I think putting it on the website would be a great move. But, and a lot of the guys, even though they may never make it to television, they're still entertaining, and it's still a good show regardless that produces some good stories and whatnot and provides some good entertainment.
Definitely. And another thing that I noticed about the end of 2012 was the WWE – forgot to follow up on one thing. Can you guess what it is?
King of the Ring, maybe?
Nope. The network.
Oh, yeah. They're not. As I said before, God knows
when
they're debuting that thing.
Who knows when that will come? If it will come.
Yeah, we got about 6 minutes. But they promised on 2012, their Twitter handle actually said, or their Twitter bio message said, coming soon in 2012. Well, it's 2013 now, and we haven't seen hide nor hair of it. I'm not sure when it's going to debut, but now that I was thinking about this, and I like the idea of the network, but I think there's a better option. And I think that's to partner up with either Amazon Prime or Netflix and provide all of these old shows. Because WWE owns the rights to the old WCW shows, ECW shows, the old territorial shows back in the 80s. Fans would go crazy over those. I mean, you pay $10 a month, and you get to go watch these old shows, these old pay-per-views. Go watch Steve Austin and Prime, The Rock, Hollywood Hogan. I think that would be, I think that is the best option for the WWE right now to show off kind of their older programming.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, with the vast amount of people that use Netflix nowadays, I think that'd be a great move. And I think one of the fears of not making the WWE Network public as of now, because, I mean, I think the original plan was to debut it on WrestleMania 28 weekend. Obviously, that didn't work out. Then the subsequent plan was to debut it in the fall. That didn't work out either. And they keep on pushing and pushing and pushing it back to the point where they don't even know where it's going to debut. And it's just kind of up in the air at this point. But, yeah, I think the network has the potential to fail, and I don't want to sound too negative on that, but it does. I don't want it to be a one huge waste of money that's only around for only a short period of time. And Netflix is something that a lot of people in, you know, wrestling fans or just people in general are familiar with. So I think, yeah, as you just said, it would be a brilliant idea teaming up with Netflix that they can have access to WCW, ECW, NWA, and all that good stuff, and they have all the footage to that so they can watch that whenever they want, without having to spend a shitload of money on a network that could potentially fail.
Yeah, and the Netflix has a tiny, tiny portion of stuff right now. It's mostly just the WWE DVDs. They have the Owen Hart, or the Hart family thing. I watched the Undertaker, some of the Undertaker's 20-0 matches, and it looks really good on Netflix. And I think if they were to expand to releasing all of their content, fans would go crazy over that, and I think that could be that'd be one of their best business decisions.
Yeah, most definitely. I think that'd be a brilliant move on their part, and especially for the casual fans, you know, to look back on WWE, ECW, WCW history, and then watch all that stuff on Netflix. I think it would be a great move and a very entertaining move with that, because it would provide us with some good memories and whatever to watch again, and with easy access, because Netflix is a thing that's the new thing now. I mean, with the convenience store or whatever they used to call them, or the Blockbuster videos and stuff like that gone, now there's really not many places to get access to wrestling other than YouTube and whatnot. So, yeah, I think Netflix would be the best bet at that point, or at this point, if they were to incorporate that in the upcoming future. So, with that being said, we've got about 2 minutes left. So, if any other potential topics or plugs or whatever you guys got.
Oh, that hour just flew by. I mean,
definitely.
We always said when we were at our 45-minute shows, we could go on for hours and hours. We've proven that, definitely. So, I mean, do you have anything else you want to talk about before we sign off?
I think I'm good.
What about you, Seth?
I think I'm good.
All right, well, you could follow me on Twitter at SirBen_WE. Follow this podcast at Spoilers Podcast. And you can email us questions, concerns, or comments, spoilerspodcast@gmail.com. And so definitely do check that email and follow us on Twitter.
Awesome. And you guys can follow me on Twitter at save_us_GSM. Listen to Save Us GSM every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on PW247.net. You can like me on Facebook, Graham GSM Matthews. Make sure to find me on YouTube, Ted DiBiase, Priceless 9. Make sure to check me out on Twitter, searching up GSM Matthews. You can find my website, nextwrestling.weebly.com. And me and Ben are looking at doing spoilers live every Thursday evening at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 4:30 Central Time. From here on out on Thursday evenings, if it changes, of course, we'll notify you. But our new home will be, of course, right here on blogtalkradio.com/PW Radio. Or, I'm sorry, PWP Radio. So, we'll see you next week. And, Seth, if you want to plug anything as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at Seth Gutt, SethGutt. Check out my website, GutWrenchPowerBlog.com. That's GutWrenchPowerBlog.com. I am a WWE featured columnist on Bleacher Report, so you can find me on there. I also host a show on PWP Radio every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. called Oh, You Didn't Know. We're actually going to have a special edition episode this Sunday at 2 p.m. with the Blossom Twins, who are contestants on TNA British Boot Camp. So I'll be talking with them this Sunday at 2 p.m. right here on PWP Radio. Thanks again, guys, for having me on Spoilers again.
Yeah, definitely. And also make sure to check out our site, WrestleEnigma.com, and PWPowerhouse.com, of course. So thank you all for joining us for episode 54. Have a great week. We'll see you next Thursday.